Happy Friday. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Still here with Dr. Dan.
That's right.
Dan Thompson, K-State Beef Institute, talking about all sorts of different issues. Talked about NAFTA. We played an interview I did with Congressman Roger Marshall early in the show, and we talked about that. We got a phone call talking about MBAP and security things there. Dr. Thompson, one thing that a lot of people are talking about with MBAP, it hasn't been official yet, but there's a lot of word from the Trump administration of maybe moving the operations of MBAP to the U.S. Department of Agriculture from Department of Homeland Security. And that's something that, from what I understand, wouldn't happen until it's operational. Former Governor John Carlin of Manhattan on his blog wrote a post talking about that potential move, and he considers it quite alarming. He doesn't seem like he's very in favor of that. What's your thoughts on that sort of potential move of operations?
Yeah, I think that it would have to have a better understanding of why. And when we look at some of the, moving it from Homeland Security to USDA, obviously there would be some differences in how it would be funded and what the funding then would take away. The funding for MBAF would take away from the USDA in other areas. So I think a person would have to take a look of why exactly do we want to move the funding from DHS to USDA. I do think that it's more of a Homeland Security and agricultural safety area. So maybe it would be pretty smart to keep those two tied together from the standpoint of their missions, so that we can protect our food supply, protect the global food supply through Department of Homeland Security and a combination of working with USDA.
Right, and this is just, we're still trying to learn a little bit more information about this potential move too. It's just something that's really kind of came out there in the headlines really the last few days, and I think it really kind of stemmed from the latest budget from the administration. I think that's where they kind of got hints of that. And as far as Carlin's concerned, his worry again is just kind of the security aspect of it and the funding aspect of it. It's usually harder to deduct funds or cut funding from Homeland Security for folks in Congress than it is for them to cut USDA.
They always pick on us guys in agriculture. I think the big thing about it is that obviously it's going to stay in the Department of Homeland Security up until it's finished, and then there would be a transition is what's proposed. But I really don't know what that means as far as the effectiveness of MBAF or how MBAF would change as far as its direction or scope of what it's there to do.
And just looking at another news article on that, it says officials say the USDA will work closely with DHS long before it opens.
Dave? Where does the CDC get its funding?
The CDC gets its funding. I don't know exactly. I mean, it's through the appropriations, and obviously, it's probably through Health and Human Services, mm-hmm. is what I would guess.
That's what I would imagine.
I know that
that was started long before Department of Homeland Security too.
Absolutely, and there's probably some funding for Homeland Security, I would suppose, that would go towards CDC when we start to think about potential, obviously Department of Homeland Security, the reason why it would get involved would be because of terrorist potential. We've gone through the training and the exercises of if we would have intentional introduction of a foreign animal disease to disrupt our agricultural markets or to disrupt our food supply. And that's how Department of Homeland Security got involved with NBAF and some of those types of things. I'm sure that the same type of thing has been funded for the CDC for intentional infection of humans through terrorist activity, whether it's a biological agent or something to that nature as well. But I'd bet Human and Health Services would be the primary funder.
Just doing a little more research while you guys were talking about this, the Plum Island Animal Disease Center, the predecessor mm-hmm. to MBAP, that's I think they're still operational right now, I believe.
They are.
Until MBAP gets going. It was operated by the USDA up until 2002. They had the Homeland Security Act, and authority to that lab in Plum Island was transferred to the then newly formed DHS back in 2002. So before 2002, it was ran by the USDA.
Yeah, and that, and they, obviously, 9/11 happened in 2001,
yeah.
And then 2002 was when we started thinking about introduction of food animal or foreign animal diseases such as foot and mouth disease and things to that nature. And it kind of goes back to, it kind of comes full circle with the discussion we've been having about NAFTA and trade and keeping agriculture. You know, people think that if it happens in agriculture, it doesn't affect me because only 2% of Americans farm and ranch. But what people have to understand is that 2% feeds 100%. And the other thing is that the largest economic driver of the state of Kansas and basically of the United States is agriculture. And as agriculture goes, so goes our economy. And so it's really not a if you're an agriculture issue, it's an if you eat issue and if you want to be prosperous issue. And so protecting agriculture and having that as the, we're so blessed to live in the breadbasket of the world, and taking care of that and nurturing those resources is vital, whether it's through the Department of Homeland Security, USDA. Me personally, I don't care how it's funded as much as the ethics and the proper appropriations to keep it funded and to keep the services working properly.
Very, very true. And again, you talk about the importance of agriculture to the state. But, I mean, even in states that you don't think of being agricultural-based states, like California, California has one of the bigger ag economies in the world for all the agriculture that they do. That's big for them. In New York, you think of New York City, but there's a lot of – New York's a pretty big state, and most of its geographies actually has a lot of agriculture to it. So
absolutely.
You got to think about things, and people forget just how much agriculture is just entrenched in our daily lives and the country's fabric.
Well, and we have to eat.
Got to eat. I like to eat.
That's right. Me too. And you look at you look at that San Joaquin Valley, and you get out into California, and you look at the almond groves, and you look at, you know, they're talking about 11 cuttings of hay a year in their hay fields and things to that.
A year.
Yeah, and you know it's because it's constant as long as there isn't a drought. You know, I mean, obviously we've had some horrific weather, but that it really is something that I hope people that aren't involved with agriculture get involved with agriculture. Understand that there's very few people involved with it on a day-to-day basis.
On the production side,
but everybody eats. And so to me, when I look at agriculture, you know, whether you have cattle out on your farm, feedlot, packing plant, or if you have a roast in your crock pot, you're part of the beef industry. And one of the things I tell our producers, you know, if I wrote a book and I walked into someone's house and the book I wrote was on the coffee table, I'd be pretty pumped, right? Because it's something that was my life's work that I did, and I'd be excited they chose that. And if I was a painter and I walked in above their fireplace was a picture I painted, that'd be pretty cool. Well, I have the same pride when we go over to somebody's house and you open up their fridge door and there's a chub of hamburger in there. Because that's something that we all work together and they chose as our consumer to put that in their refrigerator and to feed their family.
And now I'm really hungry for a hamburger.
Well, you should be.
I got a hamburger patty in my freezer. I think that's what I'm going to do for dinner tonight. So let's go ahead and go to our last break, and we'll come back and finish things up here on InFocus on this Friday here on News Radio KMAN.